Well, hello everyone. Good to see you. Just kind of some logistical information for you. Jordan and I are going to continue to produce the videos for Tuesdays and Thursdays as we've been doing. Mine will continue to come out on Tuesdays, and Jordan's will be available on Thursdays. So we hope this is beneficial to you, especially for those who are not able to get out and to come like you would like to. We hope to provide something for you that will be of a benefit to you spiritually and can hopefully give you something to think about, to feed on. For my part, I'm going to do a series of lessons called Names of God. I've done this a couple of times in the past. I think it's a powerful study. In fact, it's one of the studies I've received the most commendation or appreciation for by people. And I really appreciate it. And I think it's real valuable, so I hope it's beneficial to you. The fact is, we want to know God. Every one of us don't want to know God. And there's no better way to know God than to know the names of God. This story fascinates me. One man told a preacher, "I'm looking for something in my life. I just want to know one thing up front. I don't think I can buy into your God. In fact, I'm probably an atheist. I don't believe in your God." The preacher said, "Tell me about this God you believe in." He described a capricious, vindictive God, sort of dictatorial staff sergeant in the sky, who delighted in punishing people on earth, inflicting all the suffering he could on them. The preacher said, "I'll tell you what, if that's the kind of God we're looking at, I'm an atheist too." The fellow said, "What do you mean?" The preacher responded, "I don't believe in that kind of God that you just described either." Well, there are a lot of distortions about God. I think we struggle today. I don't think this is an exaggeration. But we're kind of in the days of the prophet. He said the people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge about God's word, but lack of knowledge about God. If people really knew God, not about God, but really knew God, I don't know how they could do anything but just bow before him and worship him and praise him and thank him for everything. But because people don't know God, they've made a caricature out of God. Remember, a caricature is taking one aspect of a person and distorting it out of proportion. People either have a caricature of God that he's all good and all loving and never punishes, or all he does is punish and never love. Both of those are wrong. They're grossly wrong. So we want to know God. We don't want to know about God. We want to know God. The Hebrews thought a name was important. We think names are important too. If we didn't, then why do we struggle so much over what we're going to name a child? Some people choose a family name. Some people choose the name of someone in the Bible. We have several children here who are named after someone in the Bible. Beautiful children, beautiful names. But the Hebrews placed great importance on a name. And God did too when he named people. He said to Abram, "You shall no longer be called Abram, you shall be called Abraham, father of the faithful." He said to Jacob, "You shall no longer be called Chisler, but you shall be called Israel, ruler with God." Well, God's names reveal something about him and his character to us. They reveal something of his person. They're representative of the very essence of his being. And that's why the Hebrews believe if you treated the name of God lightly, you were treating God lightly. It was a blessing to be able to say God's name. He says, "The name that I shall be known forever, that they were careful to pronounce, the I am that I am, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jehovah." To say that name in any light, flippant, or cursing kind of way is to assault the character and the reverence, the character of God and reverence due him. And so, we do pay attention to names. We do pay attention to how we identify someone. For us, it's usually an appellative, Ricky. And then we have the family name, Jenkins, or whatever the case may be. But we place great value on that. I remember when Cody was born, Jody and I had kind of fritted back and forth about what we were going to name him, and we had two options. One was Cody Glenn, the other was Ricky Glenn Jr. And so this is before the period of time in which fathers could go back into the delivery room. And so she's in the delivery room with delivering Cody, and I'm out in the waiting room with all the family. And so when he's born, they hold him up there in all of his little naked, beautiful glory. And everybody around me says, "What are you going to name him?" Well, with great pride, I puffed up and said, "Probably Ricky Jr." And I was just certain that would be it. And so finally, I got to go back and tell Jody, and see Jody and see how she was doing. And I told her, I said, "Everybody out there asked me what we're going to name him, and I told them probably Ricky Jr." She said, "Well, I've already signed the birth certificate. His name is Cody." I thought, "Oh, okay." How do you argue with a woman that's been in labor for 12 hours? She's already decided it's going to be Cody. Well, at least I got Glenn. My father's name is Jesse Glenn. I'm Ricky Glenn. It's Cody Glenn. And then Cody Glenn's oldest son is Casey Glenn. So at least we carry the Glenn through. But if names aren't important, then why don't we name a boy Judas and why don't we name a girl Jezebel? I don't hear any boys named Judas, not hear any boys named Jezebel, do you? But we choose someone that's a Bible name or a family name, a part of a family. That holds great value to us. Why? Because we hold those names as valuable. And so we want to know God by his names. And there's three things about the names of God I want to discuss with you or share with you at this point. First of all, God's names are a gift of grace. To name something is to have dominion over it. So Adam was to name all the animals, indicating he had dominion over all the animals. That's why God said through the angel Joseph to give him the name Jesus, because he has dominion. Man didn't name the Son of God. God named the Son. When you name something, you say you have dominion over it. We would not name God. We would not know God's names if he had not revealed them to us. But God's volunteered his names to us. And we understand the initiative of revelation lies with God, not us. We could not know God if he did not want to be known. At different points in history, God's revealed himself in little bits and pieces to us. I don't know if we could take it all one dump load at a time. But at bits and pieces, at different points in history, he's revealed different things about him. And he's done that by his names. Whether it's a covenant-keeping God, Jehovah, or whatever his name is, his children would then learn something about God that they had not known about God. But it's not something that you learn about God. It's something you learn who God is. And that's important. So you have this progressive revelation of God that was totally God's option. It was his pure grace. He showed himself to us that we could be more like him because we could know more about him. So there's no one name in God that stands for all. In fact, there are probably about 80 names for God in the Bible. And there's no one that stands out above others. There's no one name that says everything that there is to say about God. There's so much about God we'll not understand. We recognize that. But it's a blessing that we can even study his name and learn some things about God. So God sharing his name with us is a gift of grace. Second, the names of God are an invitation to intimacy. And we understand that, don't we? When we give someone our name, it means we have a relationship with them, or we want a relationship with them. So here's a young lady. The boy asks her for her name, and she says, "I'm not giving you my name." What's she saying? Get away. I want nothing to do with you. But when she gives you her name, she's at least opening the possibility that she might want to know more about you. And if she gives you her phone number, that's even a greater possibility that she wants to know more about you. We don't give our names to people we don't want to know something about us. You ever receive one of these robo-type calls and someone says, "I'd like to speak to Ricky Jenkins. Who is this?" "Well, I'd like to speak to Ricky Jenkins. Who is this? Tell me who this is." Or sometimes I'll get a call, maybe someone asking, "Is Joe Fagan here? I'd like to speak to Joe Fagan." I don't give them Joe's number. I'll tell you what, you give me your number and your name, and I'll give it to Joe. Why? Because I'm not willing to share Joe's name and number with just anybody. Joe hasn't given me permission to share his name with just anybody. Joe's given me permission to have his name and to have his number. And we have that relationship. But I'm not sharing with somebody else. So when you share a name with someone, it speaks of a level of intimacy. It speaks of a level of relationship that's there. When God gave us his name, he's asking us to get to know him. He's saying, I want you to check me out and know me and become close to me. I don't believe God wants to be mysterious. He wants to be known by his people. And there's a huge difference between knowing about God and knowing God. God is interested in us, not simply knowing about him, but knowing him. God wants us to be intimate with him. He doesn't want to be a distant God. He doesn't want us to worship him distantly. I believe what God's names tell us is he wants to be a very personal God to us. And we shouldn't be afraid to use that terminology. He wants an intimate relationship with us that is a byproduct of his grace. He wants to be known by us. He doesn't want to be known about. He doesn't want us to know about him. He wants us to be known. He wants to be known by us. He wants us to be closer than anyone else could ever know. He wants us to know we can always count on him. So God says, here are my names. Let's get to know each other. God's name is an invitation to intimacy. Third thing, God's names are a call to trust. God said, if you truly learn who I am, and you learn about all the relationships that we can have together, if you pursue me, if you learn that you can count on me, you'll learn you can trust me. To what degree have we learned that? To what degree have we learned God is count-onable, that we can trust him? David says in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10 that those who know about God put their trust in him. Look at that. Psalm chapter 9. And look at verse 10 with me. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10. Let's just read that together real quickly. I think this is an important verse. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. He's given us his name to put our trust in him. God giving us his name is a gift of grace. It's an invitation to intimacy. And it is a call to trust God. So let's just run through a few names here. And just kind of give a tease to what we shall study here. One of the names of God is El Shaddai, Almighty God. God wants to know he has the power to do what needs to be done. Do we know enough about God that we know that particular aspect of God's character? Another name is El Roi, the God who cares. We need to understand God wants to know he sees even, God wants us to know he sees even when others do not. God knows the sparrow that falls from the air. Not one falls to the ground that he doesn't see. It must break God's heart when we don't know that God sees everything we do. God says, I watch over you because you're my child. Ever feel anxious and worried? Worried about your marriage, your children, your health, COVID-19, society? Do you know Jehovah Shalom, God of peace? God wants us to really know we can come to him. He said, I can come into your life and give you contentment that will put your problems in proper perspective. Do you ever feel dirty because of sin? Do you ever feel dirty because of sin? Sin unconfessed, unrepented of? And because of that, not forgiven? Jehovah Tsidkenu, I can forgive you your sins. I can make you clean. A lot of people feel destitute. God says, I'll meet your needs if you know me. He didn't say, I'll take care of all your griefs, but he said, I'll meet your needs. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. Some are sick. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. How does he do that? What does he do? How much is left up to us? How much seeking and searching are we to do to prolong physical health and quality of life, quality of physical life? Are we lonely? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He wants us to know He is with us every step of the way. These are just some of the names. God wants us to know so much more about Him. He has a name for every occasion. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The names of the Lord are a strong tower. The righteous run into it. I think a lot of people don't know where to run with their problems. A lot of people aren't running to the strong tower. A lot of people are running away. Instead of running to the strong tower and trusting the names of God, they run into all kinds of problems and run away from God. But if we know God's name, we know He's a strong tower. We can run to safety and our problems would seem smaller if we trust in God. Why? Because we've come to know about Him and His character. We've come to know who He is. But how can we know to run to God when we don't know God? It's not talking about God. But how can we run to God when we don't know God? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. God wants to help us. But we have to know God to call His name. So in these areas that we've talked about in reference to God's character and His ability, have you ever asked in those areas for help? David said in Psalm chapter 20, look at Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isn't that true? Maybe it's not chariots and horses that we trust in, but what are the things we put our trust in today that don't protect us? Our materialism? Our humanism, thinking man is God? Thinking we can control God? What is it that keeps us from having that peace with God? In John 5 and verse 5, in John chapter 5 and verse 5, there was a certain man who had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" People who are afraid to get rid of their diseases, things that attack their souls, do they want to be made well? Are we afraid God can't make us whole? Let me tell you, it's dangerous to study the names of God. Because when we do, we're not just dealing with facts or information, but we're talking about application of some information that can bring about transformation. They will change. They will change us if we truly learn from them. So when we learn who God is, and we learn the names of God, we blow a lid off the box that we try to keep God in. And I've learned this even true of myself, that sometimes we try to keep God in the box. And I believe God's insulted by the person who says, "I want to know you better, I have all this stuff in my heart, but I have a little corner over here for you, or over there, and I want to get to know you a little better." No, God wants us passionately to know Him intimately. And so, we want to look to the names of God to be able to know who He is. Look in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And one way we can do that is by knowing the names of God. In Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86, verses 11 through 13. Psalm 86, 11 through 13. He talks here about a united heart. Listen to what he says. "Teach me your way, O Lord, I'll walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, the depths of the grave." David prayed for a united heart. "Unite my heart to fear your name." In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Amplified Version reads this way: "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way may come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may also share in his sufferings, that I may be continually transformed into his spirit and his likeness, even to his death. Paul is saying he wanted to know God intimately, to the point that he could understand what God's names mean, what God has done in his life. And with that life comes the determined purpose to apply those things to his life. Here's one whose character has been changed into the glory of God himself. Well, that's the first lesson on the names of God. I hope that sets the table for you. And I hope you join me. Join me in this study. I look forward to going through it with you. I look forward to sharing these things with you. I really like them. I really think they're very encouraging. I think they help us know who God is, and that's what I want to help us do. So stay safe and stay healthy, and look forward to the time when we can just be face-to-face in all our studies together. Thank you. Take care.